Riley Friday returns to the show. Riley Davis, the one and only. And the NFL draft has already commenced. Thus, the Carter Elliott Lions hat. Carter's running a wee bit late today. Just want to make that known to everybody. And Riley has brought the energy as always. How are you doing, Riley?
I'm doing great. At the time of recording, it is ahead of the NFL draft. And we will not be talking NFL later today, but there will be a draft theme that I'm excited about. I love drafts in general. Put me in any draft. Let me watch any draft. I will be there. Like that Kylian Mbappe meme. I will be there.
Wow. How do you feel about the Vietnam draft?
Oh, I did not think about this. That is one draft where I will not be there. I probably would have ducked it.
Where does draft beer fall into this?
Top three. Y'all know this. Two-Hearted Ale on tap is number one.
What about rough drafts?
Rough drafts are fun. I'm a big fan of rough drafts. A lot of times my rough drafts just become my final copy. You feel me?
Yeah. Ooh.
Team no edits. Yeah. Write what you write, think what you think, and turn it in.
Yeah, I like that.
What we're not going to do is sit here and act like that was profound. We're not going to lie to our audience on Friday. I'm excited for the show. It should be fun. Always fun. We get the boys back together. Boys, we have a business meeting that includes the three of us this afternoon. Should we acknowledge that publicly? Riley, what's the energy like ahead of our business meeting?
You know that that Office episode first season where it's Michael Scott and Jan closing on a client at Chili's?
Yes.
Those are the type of vibes I'm going for. I need some apps. Y'all might, when we hop on the Zoom later today, I literally might just be chilling at a Chili's with the Southwest egg rolls and a blue margarita.
Chili sounds fire right now.
We can make Chili's happen. If we got a wine and dine, we can make Chili's happen. Carter, are you going to the NFL draft tonight? I feel like that's something you would do.
No, I'm not. I was going to go, but I need to be like locked in. Like I need to be like in front of the screen. I need to see like what's happening. I need to hear analysis. And I don't know if I'll get that if I'm there. Like I feel like I might miss something and that won't sit right with me. So I'm going to do what I normally do. I'm not going to act like I haven't been there before. I'm going to fire it up on the TV screen and lock in.
You need the beautiful sounds of Mel Kiper in your ears?
I got a couple things going on. Sometimes I throw on a radio broadcast. I mute the TV. You know, I go back and forth. I gotta lock in.
Wow. Okay. I'm excited. I can't wait. I know it's a big day for you, and by default, that means it's a big day for us. So good. Good. Very excited. Okay, let's get to the show. Cart, YouTube comment of the day.
This one comes from Shady Forever G-Unit. On a Michigan State video, starting lineup is set. Fears, Akins, Fiddler, Booker, Kohler. If no one transfers out, I'd be shocked if MSU got another player. The roster as it is now is very deep and very talented. Let's get to the Discord comments.
Do you want to comment at all, Riley, or should we just move on?
If no one else leaves, force Jackson Kohler out. I know he's a friend of the program who once compared himself to Akeem Olajuwon and Giannis Antetokounmpo, but like get a big man. Wait till Carolina gets their big man first. I don't need extra competition, but please. I care about my friends. In this case, I care about my friend.
I'll trade you one big do for Jalen Washington.
One big what?
Big Do.
What's a Big Do?
You don't know who Big Do is? See, you're not even locked in. Jonas Adu.
Hey, Carter.
I would take that trade.
Carter, how many of the players in your starting lineup next year are returning to Michigan State?
How many players in the starting lineup?
Like next year's starting lineup includes how many returnees?
It'll probably be all but Fiddler.
So it'll be four returnees.
Yeah,
how many points per game did the four starter returnees average last season?
Fears averaged like two. Akins averaged probably 11. Booker averaged probably six, and Kohler averaged three.
Be a pretty on brand, except Booker averaged 3, not 6. They combined to average 21 points a game last year. That's your starting lineup.
21.
21 points.
21.
Your four starters that aren't Frankie Fiddler combined to average Frankie Fiddler numbers.
21.
Should be fun. Okay, to the show. To the Discord, join the Discord. Yada, yada, you've heard it before. I don't have the energy for a pitch today, but it's thriving. Great community. A lot of great people in there yesterday. People were trying to sell me Caleb Houston autographed cards yesterday. That was exciting. Every Michigan fan in the Discord immediately said no thanks to that offer.
I was going to say, what was the opening bid for that? 7 cents?
I think he was trying to pay us to take it, and we all said no. But, hey, just a sign of a great community when you're getting free Caleb Houston autograph offers. Okay, Malik Perry starts us off today, Cart. He says, when Calipari and his wife decided to leave, his wife said she's going to miss baking brownies for the team. I bet those brownies was good.
I'm with you, Malik. I bet you Mrs. Calipari is a mean, mean baker.
We really think so?
Yeah, I think so. If I was ranking coaches' wives as bakers, she would be up there.
Who would be top? Give me like top two.
Honestly, it's good that Riley's on here. I know for a fact, all-timer, like Roy Williams' wife was, she definitely made like some elite-ass like Scotcheroos or Rice Krispie treats.
Wanda Williams was known for her banana pudding.
There you go. I mean, I know.
With recruits. It was like Wanda's nana pudding was like how Roy used to close on recruits.
That 100% makes sense to me. There's definitely a list out there that I could come up with, I know for a fact.
Out of our like, three wives, what do you think the rankings would be as bakers? I know Cart's wife. Cart knows my wife, but like it's not like we all know each other's wives well. What do you think the baking rankings would be of our wives?
I think it'd go my wife first, Riley second, Mal third.
I take that as disrespect, Riley.
I would have gone the same order. I know Meg is fire when it comes to baking. I know, like, I've heard Carter talk about the cookies she's made before, and yes, I need to make a trip up to Ferndale and see what these cookies are about.
This is no disrespect to Mal, by the way. When she listens to this, I love you.
I mean, I have seen Meg bake, don't get me wrong. We're just unanimously putting the vegan at one here.
It's a
baking competition.
Okay, but hear this out. If you can make good vegan desserts, to me that just speaks to your skill. If you're having to avoid eggs and milk and they still turn
like
out,
I can give you a chocolate chip cookie, Greg, and it'll be like a top five chocolate. You wouldn't even know it's vegan.
It'll be a vegan chocolate chip cookie.
You wouldn't know that though. You wouldn't be able
oh,
to
oh, I'll know.
No, you
oh,
wouldn't. I
oh
promise.
No, you're doing the thing where you act like people don't know, but people do know.
You would,
people
you
pretend
would not,
they don't
you
know.
You would not know with these cookies.
I will pretend that I don't.
What's Mal's go-to baking dish?
I mean, she's versatile. What do you want?
I've had some of her baking dish. I believe she made like a banana bread before. That was great.
Chocolate chip banana bread is fantastic. Yeah. Depends on the occasion. She's got a couple different go-to cookies. She makes peanut butter cookies that are incredible.
I like that. I mean, I'm all three very viable baking wife options. I'm not.
No,
I'm
no, no. Screw your wife. Just kidding.
Can I gas myself up for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Please. What, are you going to say you're the best baker?
I'm a pretty good baker, Loki. Especially when it comes to brownies, like on the topic of Mrs. Calipari and her brownies, I'll hook you up with some chocolate peppermint brownies, blondies, and chocolate espresso brownies are my go-to.
That's crazy. I don't think chocolate peppermint brownies should be a thing.
I love chocolate peppermint. Top three flavor combination for desserts for me.
Interesting. I might need to, I'd be willing to dabble. I'm not typically a peppermint guy, but I love you, Meg. Just want to make that unequivocally clear. I love Meg. Izzo's friend Jake says, in a very possible world where Tom Izzo doesn't get a big, would we want Mati Sissoko back? My take is, of course, I think we need to upgrade. But if we aren't, I'd rather have Mati than not. It's not like he's a locker room cancer. He's just not a Big Ten starting center. With some of the bigs added to the conference, I don't trust Kohler and Cooper to hold it down. I'd rather have the option of Mati than an open scholarship.
I agree. I'd rather have Mati back than have an open scholarship.
Yeah. San Diego State is about to have a better big man offseason than Michigan State is, and their ad is Mati Sissoko. Tough. A lot of commentary here. Let me scroll down here. Just a lot of back and forth. Remember, keep the comments thread for comments on the show, folks. Frag McNasty, by the way, we needed to shout out Frag. Frag joined yesterday in the Discord. Shout out to Frag McNasty. Frag McNasty joined specifically to tell us that a dog's muzzle is not a snooter or a schnoz. It's a snout. That triggered me so much I had to pay $10 to get it on the record. Riley, what would you refer to a dog's nose as?
I want to say snout. I feel like snout would have came to me.
Yeah, I'm calling it a snout too.
Oh, you're off the schnoz now?
Did we even have this discussion?
Yeah, you said a dog's nose is a schnoz. I'm doubling down. My dog's nose is a snooter.
Okay, snooter, for some reason, has some type of sexual undertone that I'm not okay
Listen,
with.
Not snout, all snout, snouts though, are
both,
snooters.
They're both synonymous. You can use them. You can use them both.
Not all snouts are snooters, but some dogs got a snooter.
Do you have a snooter?
I'm not a dog. I can't answer that. My dog's got a big nose. My dog.
Benji almost lost his snooter. Yes,
I know it was dangerous, but a lesser snooter would not still be here. My guy's got a scarred up snooter. All right.
Snooter is pretty good. I might have to pivot to snooter. You might have sold me.
Thank you, Riley. Appreciate that. Jesse says, Coleman's burner, UK, Malik, and our guy are stranded on a deserted island with no means of communicating to the outside world. What's the first alliance? Who dies first?
I'm not even going to break this down to level by level who dies first and what alliances happen. Malik's going to come out on top. Straight up.
I kind of think Guy would find a way here. I don't know how.
He's not seasoned enough. He hasn't even experienced life yet.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably Malik. Jesse also says, if you could add one blue chip, one and done player from the last 10 years to your squad as it stands, who would you add that you think would make your team a Final Four team?
Let me think about this.
Does it have to be a player that played on your team? Probably. I feel like that would be, like, I can't just say I'm throwing Anthony Davis on UNC. That doesn't make much sense.
No, you can pick anybody. His predictions are Carter will go with Zion and I will go with De'Aaron Fox. Those are Jesse's predictions.
I need a big. I'm going AD.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good one. You could have put Zion at the five, though.
Well, I don't want to upset Xavier Booker.
Also, Izzo would probably play Zion at the three. Isn't that why Curtis? Is that why Zion Williamson didn't commit to Michigan State because he wanted to play the three? Sorry, Riley. Do you have an answer?
I mean, I'll defer to you. Let me do some research.
The two that come to mind for me are wildly different options. Anthony Edwards. I think I have NBA playoff brain right now, but like I want like a combo guard killer first option on Michigan, and Ant is that. The second would just be a winner, just straight up like a dude you know is going to elevate everybody. I'd take Jalen Brunson. I know he wasn't a one and done, but I don't care. Give me 1 year of freshman Jalen Brunson. I would like that a lot.
Good pickups. Also, that's enough out of you too, G. That's enough.
I can tell I really got to you with that
one.
Yeah,
that's enough this episode. Already, it's enough.
I mean, it's a long episode, a long way to go here.
I know. I'm going to start lashing out.
Okay. All right.
Damn. I'm between Bam Adebayo and Paolo. I might go Bam. Just Paolo would. Paolo in Chapel Hill with RJ Davis would be scenes. I got it. I can't lie. But do I go loyalty and go with Bam? It's one. Maybe I'll go Bam for the defense.
Great player.
Oh, good options.
Yeah, great player. Okay. Good question. I like that question, Jesse. Coop says, when you were talking about Hurley being a mad scientist, this came to me. I have a comp for him, and it's Draymond Green. Both are very intelligent basketball minds who seem to lose their minds on the court. But part of me can't shake the feeling that their outrages are calculated to a degree, although the difference is Hurley hasn't tried to hurt opposing players yet. You like that comp, Cart?
I need to step in here with this Hurley. Like, people need to relax. Like, Hurley's not, like, assaulting people on the court or, like, doing anything that's just completely out of pocket. Like, he's just – he's more demonstrative and maybe a little less classy than Matt Painter. That doesn't mean he's just some monster that, like, people, like, paint him out to be. Like, I get he's intense, but, like, I don't know. It goes a little bit too far. People are acting like Hurley's just, like, this awful, terrible person that's just, like – doing all these things that are like breaking rules in college basketball, and he's just not doing that.
I mean, he did threaten to fight like three different fans.
They threatened him first. Don't threaten him. Like,
okay.
He also didn't assault him or anything. So it's like, you know.
Okay.
I want to play for a team that someone says something to my coach says something back and not says like, oh, I'll figure it out. Thank you for your constructive criticism. I'm going to take that back to the locker room and figure some things out. And Boilermaker, we trust. Like, come on.
All right. I take responsibility. Purdue fans, if you don't like that answer, you got a grumpy answer from Cart because of me. I set the tone today. I got to be better. Regress says, Riley Friday question. Riley, everyone's been wondering, and it's time for you to take a stand. No more beating around the bush. Who do you think was behind Philip II of Macedon's assassination in 336 BC? Much has been made of his wife Olympias' possible involvement, but his son Alexander the Great had much to gain from his death as well. Or was it simply the case that his assailant, Pausanias of Orestes, acting alone? Your silence on this matter has gone on too long. The people need to know.
It's definitely Alex. I mean, Alexander the Great, he was that man. He was conquering everything. He wasn't going to let anything get in the way, not even family. For most people, blood is thicker than water. For Alex the G, it was like, he was the original Cash Rules Everything Around Me long before Wu-Tang, and he took out his dad to conquer the world.
Alex the G is phenomenal.
I love Riley Friday so much. I really do too.
I mean, you're not getting this anywhere else. Cart, what do you make of Alexander the Great's legacy?
I thought you were describing a Game of Thrones episode until Riley answered.
You got to be pretty great to just be known as like blank the Great, right?
I mean, wasn't he just like the first great? Like, there's probably a lot of Alexes I could throw in that are better than him. Like, we're just given great titles like Alex Trebek, God rest his soul, Ovechkin, Alex Rodriguez.
Are any of those known as the greats, though? Like,
I mean, they're probably better than Alexander the Great. They live longer than him.
I don't know. We might have to flesh this one out. Would you like to be known as Carter the Great posthumously one day?
No, I just want like Carter to just get it done. Carter just right.
Carter the gotta get it boy.
Carter the average.
Carter, just get it done. All right. I Maynor says, it looks like North Carolina will likely start Cadeau, who was on a 2-year plan to the NBA. RJ, Ian Jackson, Cade Tyson, and a portal guy at the five. Off the bench, they will have 5-star one and done Drake Powell, another diaper Danny, and James Brown. 3rd-year bench players, Seth and Jalen Washington. Are there enough minutes and shots to go around in Chapel Hill? What's more likely, someone decommits or major chemistry issues next season? Rhetorical question as the resident Duke fan, I'm just hating. P.S. I have grown accustomed to Riley. You're now my second favorite Tar Heel fan next to my, it says line brother, but I don't know what that means. He has a car detailing business and cleans Roy's car from time to time.
Line brothers are what like the historically black fraternities, the D9 fraternities, call their pledge brothers.
Oh, my bad. I apologize. That's horrible ignorance for me.
All good. But for I Maynor, I say all good as if I have the authority to forgive you on that. I defer to I Maynor. The white guy does not need to forgive you, Greg.
Can Carter rule on that? Should
all good.
Okay, thank you.
All good.
But yeah, I appreciate the love, Imanner. You're quickly ascending the ranks of my favorite Duke fans. Although the oft alluded to Mark, who Carter and Greg met in Phoenix, is number one right now. But anyway, I'm not going to speak too much on this because UNC and Duke ties into one of the topics today. I can assure you that James Brown will not be getting minutes for UNC next year, though.
That was going to be my one follow. I didn't know we were calling James Brown a diaper dandy.
Wow, interesting. What do you think Mark's doing right now?
Selling a house. He's a realtor. Very good one at that. He sold me my house.
Wow.
You think he gave you a good deal?
I think he helped us get a good deal, yes.
Okay. Good work, Mark.
I like to imagine he's cozied up with a good book.
What kind of dog? What kind of dog does Mark have? Is it a doodle?
Yeah, he has a doodle.
Yeah.
How the hell did you know that?
I could feel
that. Because he's white and a realtor. Like,
honestly, if you're white and a realtor, there is like a 77% chance you have a doodle.
I don't believe those numbers. Quinn Hazard says, do you expect any of the new members in the Big Ten to contend out of the gate? How about a very early prediction on how many of the four seem like tournament teams? Bonus points if low on Kobe Johnson headed UCLA. Quinn is a USC fan, so I like him bringing some energy to the new teams in the Big Ten here. Carr, what do you think of the four? How many seem like tournament teams?
Right now, I think the ones I feel confident about is only honestly UCLA. I'm not sure what Sprinkle is really doing at Washington right now with his ads. And honestly, I'm looking forward to year two Muss. I'm a little bit intrigued like what Muss's strategy is this year with USC. Like some of the ads he's bringing in just aren't very Musselman like. So right now, I only feel confident saying one of those teams will make it is UCLA.
Any thoughts, Riley?
I'm with you on the UCLA love. I mean, I don't even know if I'd say I love them, but I see them getting back to the tournament. I think that, you know, with Kobe Johnson, you have a hopeful NBA guy, and they added William Kyle from South Dakota State. And I feel like Summit League transfers have sneakily been good in recent years. I know he's really bouncy. I'm with you on USC. It does not feel like a typical Musselman transfer haul, and it's kind of expecting more just because, like, I mean, USC has had some really good players in the past half decade. And I know Enfield knows how to get guys, but I thought Musselman would take it up a notch. Like, I like the Chibuzo Agbo pickup. I'm kind of intrigued by St. Thomas. I know there's some athleticism concerns, but Musselman has done pretty well when he's brought in those like wing toolsy wings, so to speak, like the our wings who can create a little bit, who can make plays for others. I think Agbo has a little bit of that in him, but like just not to the extent of Thomas. So those guys are intriguing, but the guard depth right now is pretty scary.
Yeah.
I am going to go bold here. I don't think any of these teams make the tournament.
Ooh.
It's a little bit of hate, but also did any of them make the tournament last year? No. So, like,
Oregon.
Oh, yeah, Oregon did.
Oh, yeah, Oregon did. Barely, right? Sorry, that was disrespectful of me to forget about Dana Altman. I think Oregon, if there is one, I think could, it's Oregon. I don't think UCLA or USC or Washington have much of a chance here.
Is that because of Altman or is that because of Oregon?
I think that roster is starting in a healthier place and they have a coach I believe in. Like, I know they just lost Rigsby to a different Big Ten school, but, like, I believe in Oregon's collective talent more. Like UCLA was a disaster this year, lost everybody key and added Sky Clark. That doesn't scream come to the Big Ten and be a tournament team to me. USC, I think you've heard me say this, Carr. I think Muss is going to have a disaster year one. He's not bringing anybody good from Arkansas with him. Like there was nobody good at USC to keep. So he's starting purely from scratch. I think year two, he'll get it together. But year one, I think is like meltdown mode. And then Washington, the jury's out on Sprinkle until we see it. So, yeah, I don't know. And again, the Big Ten is not Big Ten superiority. Obviously, the Pac-12 has been good. But there were 6 to 7 teams in the Pac-12 on a night-to-night basis you could float through games and no-show, and if you have talent, win against. That's not true in the Big Ten. Like, Ohio State was one of the worst teams in the Big Ten last year, and, like, they're more talented than all three of those teams on paper, or at least they were last year with Thornton and Gale. So I don't know. We'll see. Derek says, in honor of Purdue's Day of Giving, what's the favorite thing Purdue has given each of you?
They gave me Robbie Hummel.
They gave me a good memory watching that Carson Edwards masterclass in 2019.
That's a good one.
Also a good answer. I'll say they gave me Mackey. I do enjoy Mackey Arena. It's a beautiful place. Sean Vowles, what do you guys think of Doster's nickname of Dustbuster for Dusty May?
Not the biggest fan, but I like calling him Dustin.
Can't say I'm going to be using Dustbuster.
I'd rather go like Dust Bustin.
Okay.
I mean, like, if there's a hole, he going to fill him, right, Cart?
All right.
Am I wrong? Coop yes. says, comment for Riley. Coby White was a major contributor to me winning my NBA fantasy league. Again, back-to-back two-time champion, no big deal. Okay, Coleman Hawkins. He was very fun to watch this year. He deserves most improved player, in my opinion. He also might have the best hair in the NBA.
No lies detected. I love Coby White. I think I said last week that he's probably in my list of top five favorite Tar Heels, even though he was only there 1 year.
We're not just going to give out hair titles like that. So that's the one thing. Like, Kobe can be second, but the best hair in the NBA is Jaime Jaquez. His hair is always just perfect. It's, like, flowing. It looks soft all the time. It stays intact while he plays. Jaime Jaquez has the best hair in the NBA.
Carter, any comment on one seed Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown losing as 14.5-point favorites at home to Haywood Highsmith and Jaime Jaquez?
Hey, Spo gonna Spo.
It's a tough look, right?
Very tough. Tyler Hero had 14 assists.
Yeah, special. Good player.
And he hit six threes.
Yeah, crazy.
Masterful performance.
Fun game. They were hooping. Shot quality's in shambles right now. They hated that result last night. By the way, speaking of Coleman Hawkins, Carter, do you want to address the Coleman comment? I'm surprised it wasn't your YouTube comment of the day.
Oh, yeah. Well, three-time Big Ten champion Coleman Hawkins slid through our YouTube comments and said he wants to get on the pod soon. Coleman, my brother in sleepers, you're an honorary member. We claim you whether you want to be associated with us or not. You have an open invite, except on Fridays. That's Riley Fridays. But you can join with us to make four. But you're more than happy to get on anytime, brother. Just hit slide the DMs.
Coleman, this is your podcast. Like this, this is yours. This is as much yours as it is ours. Just let us know. Let us know when you want to come on. Guy says three things. One, Riley, why did you leave me on delivered, man? I thought we were tight.
I can't even remember what this conversation was about. I asked him if Deron Holmes was poor to lean, and he said no. I didn't really think it merited a response. I love you, Guy. Sorry about that.
Two, Greg, I think our conversation on Tuesday might need to get read, paraphrased to the world. I am not as cray in the head as I made out to be. I think I know which conversation he's talking about, but I'm not positive. And for that reason, I'm not going to read it out loud. But yeah, Guy, I think you're doing a bit with some of this. And I like your bits. So we're going to let it slide. And three, isn't it great that Tyler Wall is done?
I'm going to miss Tyler Wall.
I don't say positive things about Wisconsin.
Good on you.
Okay. Thanks, Guy. Fam says, happy Bluffs Friday, everyone. Since Derek took my Mother's Day related question earlier this week, I'm going to wish y'all a good weekend with the fam and hope y'all find some time to wipe the dust off your golf clubs with the weather finally turning.
Not turning like that. Riley, do you golf?
I don't.
No, just never.
Never. You watch. I can drive a golf ball pretty far if we're at like Top Golf. I feel like that's probably not that surprising considering how I play pickleball. But the actual finesse that it would take to play golf, that's not in my bag, and I think it would lead to me getting frustrated.
I think Riley could break 100 right now if he just headed out to the course. I fully believe that.
How far do you hit your drives?
Dude, I really don't know. All I've ever done is play Topgolf or drive. However, so how far back, like if you're at Topgolf, I can almost get to the back net. Not like consistently, but every once in a while I'll hit it I'm approaching the back net. However,
it's been a while since I've been to Top Golf, but I want to say the back is 250.
Let's give this a Google.
That sounds short though.
Back net Top Golf, 250 yards.
Huh.
Okay. That's not nearly as delusional as I thought it would be. I thought Riley was going to come on like, oh, yeah, I can go like 310 carry.
310 like, carry on a good day.
I would believe it.
I'm not gonna act like I'm consistently hitting the back net, but I have done it before.
I mean, Riley's a strong man. Seen it with my own eyes. And I've also seen it through the internet, as have all of you. Okay. Oh, yeah. No, Derek says he's sorry to fam that he took the Mother's Day question, but Bluffs could still give us his perfect Mother's Day gift, though. What's your perfect Mother's Day gift, Riley?
Honestly, my mom really she enjoys sports memorabilia, whether it's UNC or Yankees related. She's from New York. She's a big Yankees fan. So if I don't know what else to get, it's usually something from one of those two teams.
Your mom's from New York?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I need to take a mental note of that when I meet Miss Davis. I'm gonna hit it with, "Hey, I'm walking here."
I feel like there's a more heartfelt thing I'm missing. I did like Greg's suggestion for flowers. Flowers is always good. For my wife, pretty much.
Have you ever made her a gourmet chopped cheese?
I have not. I don't think she hasn't lived in New York, and I mean she's a big New York sports fan, but hasn't lived in New York since the 80s. So I don't think she's missing the chopped cheese too much.
You big chopped cheese guy, Cart?
Yeah, they're fire.
The chopped cheese hits.
Man, they are elite.
The Akiway.
I didn't get into that hype, but like just to the corner store, like my sister-in-law lives in New York. And like they'll go to work during the day when we visit there, and I'll just like walk around New York and get like chopped cheeses and just mess around. It's a great experience, even though I don't like New York City. But chopped cheese are fire.
Okay, noted. Imaner says, "Shout out to Greg for stepping up on dad duty. How do you plan on indoctrinating your child into Michigan basketball? My son is 2.5, and we are getting matching Mason Gillis jerseys this year. I plan to make this a tradition." First off. Hilarious that one of the first Duke jerseys a player or a kid could wear is Mason Gillis. I this is tough for me to answer because like Riley's gonna make fun of me for this. The mutant in me doesn't know how to parent this because I can't just like come around flaunting Michigan given that our family's mostly Spartan and I'm a Michigan State grad. I don't want to teach my daughter to make the same mistakes I did, which is to like become this problematic person who turns their back on their own upbringing. So I don't know. She's going to watch games with me. I can tell you that, but I don't think I'm going to deck her out in like a Jordan Poole jersey.
Yeah. If I saw a 2.5-year-old in the Mason Gillis Duke jersey, I'd probably find a way to pick on them.
Riley, you'd be a good person to answer. How are you going to bring Theo into UNC basketball?
I mean, as soon as he can watch TV and pick up what's going on, he'll be watching games with me. He already has a ton of UNC memorabilia. We've gotten so, like his wardrobe is low-key decked out with UNC stuff from like it started at, like with the 3-month clothes, and he's covered through like I think someone gave us a football jersey that is size that's like for a toddler age 3. I think it's like a 3T size. So he's covered for a while, even though eventually got to get the basketball jersey because I don't want him to like, you know, come up too much in the losing mindset of UNC football. I think it'll be good for him to experience that, to know it's not always easy and to not to only run from the grind when appropriate. But yeah.
Riley, you are sitting in your living room and a 4-year-old Theo excitedly runs up to you and he says, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, I'm a Duke fan." What do you do as a parent?
Assume it's a joke. If not, have a very serious heart-to-heart conversation about our family values, about what is and what is not tolerated under our rooftop.
Runs deep. Okay. Rowlett Texas Boiler says, "Last episode, I think, is the first time I remember on if you messing up that you record the day before episode is being viewed." I struggled with that sentence, but I think I read that word for word how it was typed. I always wondered how hard it is for you both to record the episode as if it really is the day people are viewing. I realize sometimes you have to use the disclaimer that you record early and things may change by the time people actually watch. It's hard. It is hard, but it's a necessity. We played with various ways to do this during the season. And I think probably like in the middle of conference play is when we stopped trying to record late at night and instead just pre-recording like a full episode in the morning. So the way the schedule works, usually we record Monday's episode Sunday night. And then every other episode the rest of the week is recorded the following morning. So like Tuesday's episode, Monday morning, Wednesday's episode, Tuesday morning, and on and on. Off season's not that hard. When there's games going on, it's hard because we have to like not address what happened the future night in those topics. But I don't know. We did enough of that with the recaps. And the reality is it's just for production purposes. Like, because if we wrap an episode at midnight on a weeknight, then I'm up until 1:32 getting it edited and posted. So it's to help me. That's the only reason that happens. That's it. That's the comments today. How do we feel about that comments performance today, guys? Riley, are you happy with our comments?
I think they gave us some good ones, yeah.
Okay. Cart?
Good prompts, good answers.
Same thing, Cart?
I think we carried that. I don't think the actual questions were that great. I think that we carried.
Okay, just something to think about. Just, you know, take it into your weekend. You know, just maybe let it linger in the back of your mind a little bit. Like, oh, okay, you know.
Discord's getting comfy. I'll say it. They're getting comfy. They're getting comfy.
Okay. You know who else is comfy, Cart?
My bookie?
Me, when I'm betting at my bookie. Tell us about how to get comfortable betting at my bookie.
Well, the first step to getting comfortable with betting with my bookie is actually immersing yourself in the greatness that is my bookie, because my bookie has everything you need, from expert predictions, player parlays, props, everything you need is there. They make it easy to play your way and get paid. NBA playoffs are going on right now. I know that you want to bet on the Knicks to beat the 76ers or something of that variety, which is an easy bet, or that maybe the Lakers will finally beat the Nuggets. Who knows? But if you want to do that, head over to MyBookie and take advantage of our instant deposit bonus right now of up to $1,000 by using promo code SLEEPERS. And that is promo code SLEEPERS. Take advantage of that deposit bonus right now. Happy betting. Head over to MyBookie. We love MyBookie.
You heard the man. All right. It's time to awaken the sleepers. Riley, could we please get Riley's scripture reading of the day?
I got you. Let me pull it up. You're going to be a little, I'll be a little quicker on this one because we got some good topics to get to. This comes from Psalm 86, verse 5. It says, "For you, Lord, are kind and ready to forgive, abounding in faithful love to all who call on you." Great attributes of the Lord, kind, slow to anger, willing to forgive. Sleepers, you have been awakened.
Wow, that was a bar. Jesse was right. That was incredible. Wow. I really do love the scripture reading. That's not a bit. This is
me too.
It's really exciting to me. I look forward to it. Okay. To the show. Thank you, Riley. Thank you, God. Thank you, my bookie, in that order. How about topic number one, Riley? What do we got?
Insane order, but I'll let it slide. All right, first topic. I teased this when we were talking draft in the intro. I feel like I need a Greg freestyle over Draft Day by Drake to get us ready for this one. But yeah, y'all know I love drafts. I love when Guy does a graphic for our drafts. I want to draft players who are in the transfer portal that could be committed, they could not be committed, who you think has the best shot at making an All-American team. I know y'all did way too early All-Americans yesterday. I truth be told, haven't listened to it yet. We're recording this Thursday morning. But yeah, so I don't know if you touched on any of these guys who were in the portal, but for context, last year, Dalton Knecht made an All-American team. Hunter Dickinson was second team. Caleb Love was third team. And I think there was, if I'm not mistaken, Terrence Shannon was either an honorable mention. I know second year transfer. I think there was one other second year. Tristan Newton was the other second year transfer. So something that I don't think the All-American teams will be littered with transfers, but we saw three first-year transfers make it last year. So I want to take a stab at the best guesses for that.
Draft day, Cooper flag. On my bio, just make sure you put the Hooper tag. Draft day, Ace Bailey, Find me in the water making waves daily. Oh man, you know I had to do it for you. Okay.
That was tough. You did that, and you came up with that in the last 30 seconds?
Yeah, 30 seconds. Carl, why don't you take the
impressive.
Gosh, okay, but just to make sure we're clear on the rules here, Riley, it has to be in this year's transfer portal. Like, has to be this. Okay.
Yes. So we can do a snake draft. You get first pick.
I get a 10-second summary of the question again? Because I was completely tuning you out, focused on that rap.
Yes. It's guys in the portal could be committed or uncommitted who are most likely to make All-American teams.
Love it. Okay. And we're doing how many? We're drafting a five-man lineup?
We'll do three, maybe four.
Let's do four. Call it even.
All right, let's do four. Snake
style. Okay. Sounds good. I'm going first, you said, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take John L. Davis. I think John L. Davis is going to go to Arkansas, and I think he's going to be a first-team All-American.
Great pick. He was number one on my big board. At pick number two, I'm taking A.J. Storr. Kansas bump. Bill Self bump with wings. I think he's going to put up numbers in Lawrence.
Just pulling up our friend Evan Mia's transfer ratings real quick so that I can cheat my way through this exercise. Shout out to Evan Mia. Go check that out. That felt like the consensus top two, right? Do you guys agree that it feels like there's a slight drop off after those two?
I'm not going to show my hand here.
Okay. Look, I think you're kind of betting on like a mid-major guy to make the Connect-ian jump rather than a high major guy. While I search right now, I would like to shit on both of your picks. Cart, you took a person who might not even play in college at 1-1, and Riley, Hunter Dickinson's going to be the All-American on Kansas.
They could have two. If they're the preseason number one, they could get two.
It'd be tough. I have two now, right? I'm going back to back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First one, I'll put my money where my mouth is with my guy. Aiden Mahaney will go somewhere, be a first option, and be a stud. I'm taking Aiden Mahaney. He might be at UConn. And if he's UConn's leading scorer, he's an All-American. What are you giggling about, Carter?
Just the thought process of shitting on our two picks and then following up with Aiden Mahaney. Maybe.
I said it's a drop-off. It's a drop-off. There's an absolute drop-off.
I know.
I guess at four, just to be petty, I will take the guy who Carter literally put on his first team All-American team yesterday when we did this exercise, but somehow did not take first overall in this exercise when we're drafting All-Americans. I'll take Jeremy Roach.
Good one. I thought I could get him
on
the comeback. That's why I didn't take him.
Great, by the way.
There's like a handful of guys I could I'm going to pick Doug McDaniel. I think K-State's guards always put up big numbers, and he's got the clearest pathway to being the guy and having a huge usage rate. And if K-State has a bounce back year, you never know. Maybe he's on there.
I'm not mad at that pick. I have two right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to go. Okay, sleeper, and I think more obvious. I'm gonna actually take Trey Townsend. I'm gonna take Trey Townsend to Arizona. I think that he's gonna put up numbers there if Arizona can have some success, which I think they can if Caleb Love leaves. I could see him being an All-American. And then second, just because need a little Caucasity on my team and a little daddy ball on my team, give me Tucker DeVries.
Not mad at that.
A West Virginia player playing for his father is going to be a first-team All-American?
Yes.
Okay.
more so than Aiden Mahaney playing for Tony Bennett.
More so than the guy who's more talented than Cam Spencer playing Cam Spencer's role for Danny Hurley.
I don't know if Mahaney's going to UConn.
Did you also just say Aiden Mahaney is playing Cam Spencer's role?
If he goes to UConn, he will, yeah.
No, he's not like you're the Cam Spencer disrespect is crazy.
I don't think you know who Aiden Mahaney is.
I don't think you know who Aiden Mahaney is.
We've been through this before, my friend. You sat here two summers ago and tried to tell me you know who Terrence Shannon is, and he's a middle of the pack transfer ad for Illinois. Like, let's not play this game.
I don't know about that. I just didn't say he was the best transfer in the country.
We can cut the tape. We can cut the tape. Aiden Mahaney is going to be a superstar wherever he goes.
I don't think first clutching Mahaney is going to be a superstar anywhere.
I think you should stick to guys that Wisconsin is after. Evaluate those guys.
Speaking about Wisconsin, I mean, Aiden Mahaney is basically just a Sejan.
Maybe just let Kentucky and UConn targets do their evaluation.
Bloom and Onion a Sejan? Is that what you're saying, Cart?
So disrespectful.
I saw this dude piss himself when he had to look at a Grand Canyon player in his face. He's going to go to UConn and be a superstar.
Gonzaga's ass twice, and you were a fan of it the entire time. This is nonsensical.
I think Mahaney's still getting a little boost from his freshman year performance against Gonzaga. I don't know if he's ending up at UConn.
Year against Gonzaga.
So he's amazing against Gonzaga.
It's amazing a lot of the time. It's hard to score 13 a game in St. Mary's.
Is it?
They play like 55 possession games.
Is it really that hard to figure out how to score 13 a game at St. Mary's?
Listen, if you feel this passionately about Aiden Mahaney is not a guy, then be on that side. Fine, we'll revisit in the season. I will side with the guy that UConn and Kentucky want right now.
Okay.
And who was the second one you took after Townsend Carter?
DeVries.
All right. I guess I'm just going to pick Umar Ballo. Kind of hard for me to, like, sort of the consensus number one guy. I just don't know. Like, if Indiana is really that good, is it going to – I see where the contrarian side of things is, like, he was a focal point at Arizona, never sniffed an All-American team, but maybe he gets it done in IU.
I like it maybe more vocal, maybe more focal option.
Yep.
Don't you think Renew's better than Ballo, Cart?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Surprised you didn't go Cade Tyson, Riley?
I think Cade Tyson's going to be like the fourth option, so I can't see him making an All-American team.
Really? Why would Cade Tyson want to go somewhere to be the fourth option when he could go to Tennessee and be Dalton Knecht?
Because he's not Dalton Knecht.
Well, you have to play the first option role.
They got Dubar.
And they're getting Igor Milicic.
Hey, Tyson's better than Dubar.
I agree.
I'm going to take – I don't think this guy's on either of your board, but this is my last time around. I wish I could wait longer. I'm taking Jordan Pope, who just committed to Texas. He's going to play the Max Asemus role. I think Pope is very, very good. And if Texas somehow stumbles their way into being a good basketball team, he'll have the numbers.
Are you with us this year, G?
No, okay. I'm just on behalf of Jordan Pope. With you, ever.
I actually like that pick. He was on my big board.
The Aiden Mahaney comment really struck a chord, man.
I mean, you said early in the episode, like, you set the tone of where this was headed. Now,
because UConn wants somebody doesn't mean they're that good. UConn also wanted Nick Timberlake.
Let's just make it extremely well known. Like, let's all acknowledge the fact that if he had somehow committed to Michigan State, which he didn't because he never would, because y'all are not capable of getting a player as good as Aiden Mahaney from the transfer portal, you would be gassing this man up as if he was a 6'4 Drew Neitzel. But we're not doing that. Instead, we're shitting on him because we have to gas up Frankie Fiddler being a 15-a-game scorer. That's what we're doing.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha. Maybe y'all should hire one more St. Mary's assistant. That would close the deal.
I wish that we could close the deal. I guess I'm going to have to settle for the 7 guys that my school's gotten in the last 2 days.
Yeah. Trey Donaldson season. Hell yeah. Let's see.
It's actually not your pick.
I think it's still
actually
Greg's
mine.
Pick.
Yeah. But go ahead.
No, I'm going through my board here. Go ahead.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. When I say board, I'm scrolling CBS top 100 transfers.
I don't think there is a first team All-American left on the board. But I will take the most promising mid-major guy that I think is left out there, which is Chaz Lanier, who hit the portal yesterday from North Florida. He essentially is one of the most efficient players in all of college basketball. His tape's awesome. I didn't watch a ton of him last year. I only saw him like once in a real game setting, but he was great. And if you believe in synergy stuff, he's like 95th percentile or better everywhere on the court as a shooter. So I think he could be really good. And I think all the biggest name schools with bags are still going to be calling him this week. And he'll end up being like a second option, maybe a first option on a good team.
Like that
Okay.
pick.
Yeah,
I'm
nothing.
surprised you left a player on the board. I thought you were going to pick him for sure. You know
I'm
what I'm talking
excited. I'm excited to hear whoever you're talking about, but no, I don't.
about?
With
Okay.
my last pick, I'm taking Big Z breakout season for Zvonimir Ivicic in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Get it done, Big Z.
That's good. It's good pronunciation there.
Thank you.
Y'all are gonna hate this pick by me, but I'm gonna take Dante Maddox from Xavier because I think his stats might be stupid and like that. And a lot of his stuff with me is aura related, and I can't like shake it. Like to me, if somehow Dante Maddox is like number 52 or 55 at Xavier, I might pick him to be Big East Player of the Year. Like, I just think he's gonna go for crazy stats and playing in a Sean Miller offense and just be like a classic Xavier killer guard.
I like that pick. I thought about Maddox.
I was surprised. The one I was surprised you didn't pick. We're done now, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we're done.
I was surprised you didn't pick Mac, G.
I don't think Georgetown will be good enough.
Yeah, I like really wanted to pick Malik Mack, but after Georgetown won 9 games last year, I need a break from Ed Cooley.
Yeah, I mean
There's any hype around him.
everyone on the first team this past season, their team was good. So
Yep,
that's yeah,
correct.
that's kind of a factor. That's tough to put into it.
I would bet on Mac being it by the end of his career, though. But sophomore season at Georgetown, not the time.
Got you.
I kind of feel, in hindsight, I think I wish I would have picked Tyrese Hunter at Memphis.
I kind of wish I did too, like over DeVries.
You want me to read back the teams?
Please, yeah.
So Carter has Jonell Davis, Trey Townsend, Tucker DeVries, and Dante Maddox. I have AJ Store, Doug McDaniel, Umar Ballo, and Zvonimir Ivicic. Greg has Ada Mahaney, Jeremy Roach, Jordan Pope, Chaz Lanier.
I don't mean to throw. I kind of like Greg's team.
I
I
think
kind of
all
do too. I feel like this happens every time. We gave Greg the last pick, and somehow he just
kind of
gets
hate
these
my
good
team. I think
value
I got
guys.
bad value.
I think all of our teams are gross. I don't think any of these guys are going to be first team All-Americans. Also, just to put final numbers on this. Trey Donaldson, according to Evan Mia, is the 24th best transfer in the portal. Frankie Fiddler is the 259th best player in the portal. So just a good, let me do some math here. 235 transfers worse than the one you're clowning me about, who's my fifth best ad. Is Michigan State's only ad. And you have a spot open that you're willingly not using. Huh.
Got you, man. This is the ass shaking that you're doing for Trey Donaldson is hilarious.
I'm just reading you numbers. Is Evan Miakawa a smart guy or not?
I don't know. I've also seen Evan Mikhailov put Malik Wilson as the number one player in the transfer portal. So, like, numbers don't really also mean everything.
I didn't know this was Evan Mia slander hour. I thought we
No,
accepted
it's not
Miakawa
Evan
was a
Mia slander.
smart
It's
guy.
Trey Donaldson slander hour. That kid, he's ass. Like, why are we propping him up like he's just a killer? I don't
Because he's
understand.
235 spots higher than your star, your leading scorer this year, star.
Hey, got you. You enjoy your 5 points a game from Trey Donaldson.
Well, he's going to come off the bench for Michigan, so that probably will happen. He'll
Is
probably be
he?
okay.
Is
Yeah.
he? Who's
Yeah.
your starting point guard? Who's your starting guards?
Got two that'll start for sure over him right now. Need to find a third.
Who?
The North Texas, Reuben Jones.
He'll start at the two, and then what, the freshman will start at the one?
Reuben Jones and Roddy Gale will start, and they're going to get a third starting guard that will start over Trey Donaldson. Yes.
Okay.
Next topic.
Yeah.
No, Go ahead.
Once again, hinted at this from the iMainer comments in the Discord, but I want to talk a little UNC versus Duke right now. And I'm going to do some projecting with UNC's lineup, but I am curious which one y'all like better, because I feel like y'all have had a decent amount of Duke debates. Greg and I have talked about it with both Malik Brown and Mason Gillis and questioning some of the fit there. Obviously, Duke has the most talented player between the two and Cooper Flagg. But yeah, which team – do you want me to give you a UNC update for who I think it will most likely be on the team, or are you just going to go off what you already know?
I want the update.
So I feel very, very good, two varies, that UNC will land Cade Tyson and Adu Thierro within the next week. I still don't know what their big man situation is or who they're going to land on that end. There's been a lot of rumblings of a Cliff Amori visit, but that has not materialized. I don't know if I need to make my way down to Hubert's office and, like, you know, maybe give a Google Calendar tutorial just to get some visits on the books. But yeah, that I think with Carolina, you're looking at a starting four, like four of the – I actually think it'll probably be Cadeau, RJ, Ian Jackson at the three, Thierro at the four with Cade Tyson as the sixth man. And then we'll see who'll be at the five. But that's if I had to project it right now, that would be my gut feeling mixed with at least the intel that's being floated around right now.
Cade Tyson off the bench, huh?
Actually, I mean, I would say he's probably a day one starter, but maybe eventually you move him more into a bench role and get Ian Jackson in the starting lineup, just because I think his athleticism is game breaking, so to speak.
Okay. All right. I like that lineup. Actually, okay. Is Cadeau for sure starting at point guard?
100%. Yeah, Cadeau will be. Yeah, 100%.
All right. All right, I'm taking that into account.
I know y'all aren't Cadeau guys. I'm buying a
second. I'm a Cadeau guy.
I know Greg is not a Cadeau guy.
You're a Cadeau guy now?
There is video evidence out there of me saying that I got 10 points for my prediction, but it was that Ellie Cadeau was good.
It was going to be the freshman of the year, yes.
Yeah.
That was a prediction.
Yeah, it was. Oh, good times.
Fun times. Yeah, I mean, I hate Duke's backcourt, and I would put Elliot Cadeau way behind those guys as individual players.
So in this exercise, are we just lining it up like team versus team, like who we believe in more, Riley?
Mm-hmm. The inspiration from this was when y'all were talking about who's going to be the next Big Ten coach to win a national championship, and I was like, okay, who's going to be the next ACC coach to win a national championship, and why does it feel like anyone outside of Hubert or Shire would be a long shot?
Yeah, that's probably the case. Yeah, because I really can't think of any other ACC team that I just like kind of believe in. I still would sprinkle money that Larinaga finds a way to win one. Jahlil Bethea's season is in full effect. Right now, it's pretty easy for me because I don't like Duke's roster. I don't get it. Like, you lose Jerry, you lose all these pieces. And you replace him with a Syracuse transfer and Mason Gillis was a good pickup, but like you are really hoping and hinging your season on Cooper Flagg being generational, which I'm not pushing back on that. I think he could be transcendent and generational, but like that's what your season is hinging on, while UNC season is not really hinging. You're probably getting the National Player of the Year back, or the front runner for National Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's pretty easily UNC for me.
G?
I guess I'll say UNC, but, like, I think it's impossible to answer this question honestly without seeing where the rosters end up. Like, Duke still has, what, like, four open spots?
Do they really?
I don't know if they have four.
I think they're down to two.
Yeah, they're
after
down.
Brown and Gillis.
They lost seven guys.
They had a pretty large recruiting class.
Okay. Yeah, they had a six-person class, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, at least five.
Okay. Are we presuming their roster's final? Like, are they not going after more people?
I believe they're targeting Dallin Hall right now from BYU. as like a veteran presence in the backcourt.
Just like another, like a bench shooter that can do what Mason Gillis and Malik Brown can do. That's interesting.
I kind of like, if they get Dallin Hall, I think that's would be a pretty good pickup for them as like your third guard. But I also don't like, I think I'm much higher on both Con Kanupul and Darren Harris than I am Kamen Malawach as being impact guys. And I'm a little bit alarmed that like the intel out of Duke has been, oh, we need to add a veteran shooter or a veteran guard when you have two highly touted freshman wings who I think would be ready to contribute.
I love Harris.
Harris is a hooper, dude.
Harris is a hooper. They're going to feel the – it's not I don't even think it's a hot take at this point. The loss of Jerry McCain is not going to feel as great because of the ads of guys like Harris. Like, Harris is going to have that type of ability as a shooter.
If I could place a futures ticket with my bookie on those guys transferring next summer, I would. And I agree that they are good, but it like you have to be great as a freshman to play. Like I still think Jaden shoots good. Maybe he's not, but like at this just there's so much history of being the archetype of the guy who's like going to play 6 minutes off the bench that you just never crack the rotation because Shire's going to get stars the next year too. So I don't know. Like, do you think either of those guys actually play, Riley? Like, if they add Dallin Hall to this roster, neither of those guys are gonna play.
Right. That's why I would still lean. I would lean UNC ever so slightly. I think Flag can be that good to automatically make them the best ACC team the best team in the conference. I kind of struggle seeing him have like the same type of impact. I definitely struggle to see him having the same type of impact as Zion. I mean, Zion was like one of one in my mind as far as one and duns go. But I wouldn't be surprised if he has like Apollo type year that maybe starts a little slow, but by January that season, Apollo was clear he was the best player in the ACC and probably one of the five best players in the country. Like, I don't think Coop is as good as Apollo is, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets to that level. But yeah, I think like, I'm not all that crazy about not getting these other freshmen run so you can play Mason Gillis and Malik Brown and potentially like, I think Dallin Hall would be a good add, but I don't know if I would do it at the cost of getting Con Kanupul and Darren Harris that burn early in the season to give them some reps and ensure you keep them around for the next season. At the same time, I think UNC, like, let's say UNC's perimeter rotation consists of some combination of Seth Trimble, Ian Jackson, Drake Powell, Cade Tyson, and Adu Thierro. I like all of those pieces, but it does feel a little bit like you're trying to replace Harrison Ingram with like an aggregate of like an assortment of guys you're going to turn to for various skills. And you need one of them to hit and be like a 30-minute a night guy.
Did you say you're getting Cade Tyson, Adu Thierro, and who else?
I mentioned Ian Jackson and Drake Powell, the two freshmen.
Okay.
And Seth Trimble.
Okay. Is that the expectation is you're getting Adu Thierro?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I would be surprised if Adu Thierro does not end up a Tar Heel. There's always a chance. There's always a chance it could happen. There's a chance he could go somewhere else. Portal stuff changes quick, but I believe he will be a Tar Heel.
I just added Adu Thierro to my list of transfer videos we need to do today. Is this you expect him to be a Tar Heel the way Danny Wolf and Coleman Hawkins were expected to be Tar Heels, or is there a little more?
Never expected Danny Wolf to be a Tar Heel.
I had a text from Riley Davis that had Danny Wolf mentioned.
I said UNC was interested. It never got to the point. Like, look at Trilly. I think Trilly in his Discord broke a Danny Wolf visit twice. That never happened. He said Danny Wolf was on campus twice. And
replace
he never
Danny
got
Wolf with Cliff and Jonas Adu.
Like, I did think we were getting Jonas Adu.
You're on name number five of like, I think we're getting this guy.
Okay, Adu Thierro is different though. I truly believe Carolina's getting Adu Thierro.
Okay. All right. I think these rosters are too incomplete to answer the question. In general, I will pick North Carolina to be better than Duke because I think Duke is stuck in the Kentucky Calipari vortex, which is we recruit too many good freshmen that need to play, but we're not old enough to win. So now let me add Mason Gillis and fix everything. Probably doesn't work. He's probably just Jacob Grandison. I do think he helps them. Like, I like it, but that doesn't make me like rush to say Duke's going to be a championship contender because they added Malik Brown and Mason Gillis. I think in general, Carolina is better positioned. They have a first team All-American that is their guy. Like, you've been here 5 years, and then you have young talent that's going to get better. And you also are still trying to fill in with fourth and fifth year guys that are ready to win. That is a better formula in this era than what Duke is doing, even if we don't know the names. But I like, if Carolina gets guys I don't like to fill those spots, then I'm coming back in a week to be like, well, Duke's way more talented than this.
If we miss on a Duthiero, I might ask Carter to ship that sad boy hat out to Durham so I can wear it for next week's show.
I got multiple of them. Got you.
Are we positive a Duthiero is good, by the way?
No, we're not, but I like it. But I like them. I get good vibes.
Good vibes are all we need. Okay. So what's the final ruling here? Do we all think North Carolina is better than Duke?
I say, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
All right, final topic today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Villanova Knicks and which college teams we would have liked to see team up in the NBA. I'm going to turn it over to Greg because Greg actually came up with this topic, and I know you got something cooking.
So first off, I want to give a shout out to the one other team that I've greatly enjoyed watching in the NBA that came from this type setting. And it was only two guys, but there was a world where maybe it could have been three guys. De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk together the last 2 years was awesome. Like, what a college pair. I love guys that are remembered as duos that somehow re-team up and it works. It's super enjoyable. And if, God forbid, we could have plucked Bam Adebayo out of Miami and thrown him on Sacramento, do a little Sabonis Adebayo trade or something, I don't know, that would be the dream. Like, I think that team would, like, make the conference finals immediately with those three guys and be super fun to watch. But for this exercise, I've thought about this for years, like, what other ones would be fun? Because with the Kentucky guys, they're so talented. Obviously, it works. The Villanova guys, I don't feel that way about. Like, Jalen Brunson got awesome this year when he had his best friends around him. And, like, Josh Hart's always been, like, a guy you kind of can't play, and now he's, like, playing crunch time, and he's sick. And DiVincenzo, like, is certainly way better this year than he's ever been before. So there's something, too. Like, just get the band back together, have fun and vibes and chemistry. And I want to think of some more under-the-radar ones than Villanova.
Wait, sorry, don't want to cut you off. For this exercise, did the team have to win a championship?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, it could be anybody from college.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm like I don't know. I like, obviously I'm being selfish with my own program, but like, I go to like the Michigan years where they ended up having like six or seven guys in the NBA. Like, what would it have looked like if you had LeVert and Hardaway and like Mitch McGarry when he actually cared about basketball? Team might have been okay. Not great by any means, but might have been okay. The other one that makes no sense, but I just somehow in my head it would work. Lonzo Ball, TJ Leaf, and Aaron Holiday.
2017 was such a good year. There's so many fun teams year, from man. That season.
It was a great year.
I got one from 2 years later, 2019 Gonzaga. What if you put Rui Hachimura, Brandon Clark, and Corey? You could take your pick out of Corey. I mean, Corey Kispert, I know, is like the only one who's still in the league. But what if in order for Zach Norvell to stick, he just needed to be with Rui and Brandon Clark, get the Gonzaga boys together? I love Zach Norvell coming out of Gonzaga. I thought he was going to be like I thought he was going to be like low-key a decade-long in the league type of guy, 3-and-D. Off guard, and I have no idea what he's doing right now.
That's a good pick.
I like that shout. While we're on Gonzaga teams, like, I would love to throw Suggs and Nembhard back together as a backcourt. Both those guys have like gotten better and become legitimate starters this year. For some reason, I think that
true.
Would
work. Yeah. Who else was? I mean, does Drew Timmy's NBA career take off if you just pair him with his college guards?
You can't tell me Kispert wouldn't have a DiVincenzo like career. True. Arc if you just threw him with his guards.
I actually love that pick.
I know Greg is gonna hate this, but it kind of goes along with his theory. Wouldn't like that Louisville team that beat Michigan maybe be good, like in the NBA, if they all play with each other? Like, just Russ Smith finds a way, Montrezl Harrell finds a way, Gorgui Dieng is just like some stretch big, and then like Luke Hancock's just like some shooter that just sticks in the NBA, just knocking down a bunch of shots, like a Duncan Robinson type role.
Terry Rozier was on that team too.
Was he?
I think was Rozier might have been the next year. Yeah, Rozier was.
I don't think Rozier was on that team.
He was not, at least not in my memory. I feel like the one thing that would actually make any of these work that I feel like is a requirement is you need someone to play the Brunson role. Like, you don't need to be an actual no-brainer stud, but you need to be, like, capable of being a first option somehow.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, easy. Deron Lamb should have been a goddamn good NBA player. I don't care. Marcus Teague and Deron Lamb and Terrence Jones. Honestly, that Kentucky team, I love Terrence Jones, too. But Deron Lamb, damn it, you let us down. I believed in you. I sung the praises of Deron Lamb being an NBA player.
All right, that reminds me of another Kentucky team. I low-key loved Willie Trill Cauley-Stein, and I think he would still be in the league had he just got to play with Cat and Booker again. Gosh, that team was incredible. Tyler Ulis, too, at the guard. I love Tyler Ulis.
Very possible. Very, very possible.
This is such a fun exercise. I love college. I miss this time.
Yeah, I have so many like, more here.
Myself, Jonell Davis is just like the GOAT.
I have so many more here. Duke, there's a couple Duke teams. The obvious one is like, what would have actually happened if you put Zion, RJ, and Reddish together? Like, because I think they should be better NBA players than they were in college.
And Jones.
Yeah, you can mix Trey Jones with it. Maybe Zion like cares a little more because he cares about the people he's with than the randoms he's in with New Orleans. But if we were actually doing a Duke team that I think would have elevated each other the way the Villanova Knicks have, Jahlil Okafor was productive for a couple years, and if you actually paired him with Tyus Jones, who's led the league in like assist to turnover ratio for like 7 consecutive years running, and Grayson Allen and Justice Winslow, I think those four had like a 2-year window where they could have been a playoff team.
I'm kind of with you on that. If you get you need like this iteration of Grayson Allen, because he kind of took his time. I think he led the NBA in 3-point percentage this year.
Yeah, he did. I also love Justice Winslow.
I thought Justice Winslow was going to be a problem in the league. I thought he was going to be like Iguodala 2.0.
That was one of my all-time misses. I thought for sure he was going to be like, yeah, NBA all-star level. I have two Big Ten ones, and then you guys can go wherever you want. This one's going back. We're dating ourselves a little bit, but just straight up, you can't tell me that if Greg Oden plays with Mike Conley, his career ends the way it does. Mm. You can't tell me that.
I like that pick.
I do too.
It could have worked. And then more under the radar, give me Cody Zeller and Victor Oladipo. I think Oladipo had a window where he could have been like a Brunson-esque first option. Like, he was an all-star. He had a year where he was an NBA all-star. Give me that year, put Cody Zeller alongside him, Yogi Ferrell, and I don't know, let Christian Wofford get a two-way or something. I think it could work.
I need the career arc of Yogi to be different. We were talking about this before we started recording. I love the 2016 Indiana team with OG and Thomas Bryant, but I don't think either of them are good enough to elevate Yogi to sticking in the league. But maybe Zeller and Oladipo would have got it done.
Yeah, could have happened.
I couldn't find a third player, but like those 2015, 2016 Iowa State teams with Monte Morris and George Niang, have Niang and Morris have never played together in the NBA, have they?
No, I don't think so.
I feel like Niang has changed teams a lot, but I don't know if he's ever been teamed up with Morris.
I'm homering right now for sure, but like, you telling me a Mo Wagner, Duncan Robinson, Jordan Poole team wouldn't have had some magic? Like a little magic.
Wouldn't be able to guard, but yeah.
I mean, Franz could get there and guard at some point down the line.
I mean, Franz and Mo right now are just like...
Like, just drop Duncan Robinson and Jordan Poole on the Magic. Does that get a little more magical?
Probably, actually.
a tiny little bit. It could work.
Does Paolo get to stay?
Yeah, we can keep Suggs and Paolo, whoever. Just give me some like bench swaps and get more Michigan guys on the team. I'd love it.
I got right, one. I got one last shout for me, Riley. This is it for me, though. There's a world where a Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy backcourt works if they continue to play together.
I'm with you on that, especially if you throw DeAndre Hunter into it. That's actually a really good third.
It works. They're both a starting backcourt in the league, and they find a way to be sneaky as a sixth seed to make a Western Conference Finals if Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome are on the same team.
My homer pick is you take Cam Johnson and put him on the Bulls with Kobe White. Then you call up Luke May to move from Japan to Chicago, and it's just a perennial lovable play-in team. Every year, they're just the 9 seed, and it's like, is this going to be the year the Bulls get into the playoffs? Maybe one year they get that 8 seed and get swept by the Celtics, and we all celebrate in Chapel Hill because we haven't had good pros in a while. Celtics aren't
sweeping anybody.
Cart, no Michigan State shout from you?
Nah.
Why not? Like, actually, I'm not trolling. Why not? I think there's a couple teams that would have worked for this.
Yeah, well, they're also like half the team probably would be suspended.
But that isn't part of the exercise? Like a happy world where you're with your friends not doing bad
things? Hold on a second. Redacted never gets in trouble if Tom is still in the league with them.
What about Redacted, Jaren, and X? Or Jaren and X and
Cash
can
stick in the league.
What I was going to say is this entire exercise would be built around Cassius stays in the league if he's with his friends because he like is better and unlocked more.
Cassius stays in the league because he's with his friends. Redacted stays out of jail because he's with his friends and Tom.
And Jaren and X. Yeah, I think that would work. The other Michigan State one for me, which again is very friendship driven and also involves some redaction. Denzel Valentine and Redacted. Lifelong childhood best friends. They had like a 3-year window in the league where they were both like Redacted was playing on the Spurs playoff teams and like hitting threes. And I do think there's a world where Denzel would have been better in a different place. But I don't know who their third would be. Like, did they play with a big Adrian Payne, RIP?
Yeah, I mean, he did play in the league for a little bit.
Yeah, I guess they're probably one person short, but the friendship powers of Brandon Zell could have worked.
Yeah, why do I feel like we're missing somebody from that? Like, does Brendan Dawson find a way to be okay in the league if he's?
Brendan Zell had Deontay Davis, and I think they had 1 year of pain.
Yeah, it was. But, God, those teams under fucking giddy pots.
Fun times. I would also like to see the Murray twins and Luka Garza.
That's a good one.
And Wieskamp too.
Yeah.
I forgot about.
With Fran. This is fun. Let's do this all day. I love it. Okay. One big thing presented by nobody. Riley, you got one today?
I do have one. I think it's a pretty good one. Are y'all familiar with the song Lips of an Angel by Hinder?
No.
Carter is. Yes, I am.
I am?
So.
Yes.
How's it go?
Hold on. Wait for it. Okay. But, Theo has a noise machine, you know, in his nursery that plays white noise, but it also has these different lullaby songs. And one of the lullabies, I swear to you, sounds like Lips of an Angel. And so I hear this pretty much every day now. And it had me thinking, I know we have been a pro karaoke podcast before. I feel like Greg and I could crush a rendition of Lips of an Angel at karaoke.
Lips of an Angel definitely sounds like some white noise.
Would you like me to start it, Greg?
I would.
Let me clarify that I'm not a Hinder fan. I'm sure the people who know my Creed love assume that I just like bad rock music in general, but there's levels to that. But it starts out with
Creed.
It starts out with a "Honey, why you calling me?" So late.
It's kind of hard to talk crying now.
Honey, why you crying? Is everything okay?
Wait, can we recreate this photo?
I gotta whisper because I can't be too loud. Well,
these are some
cool. My girl's in the next room. Sometimes I wish she was you.
I guess we never really moved on. It's really good to hear your voice. That was great.
It's a good song. It's also the second best Hinder song. Better Than Me was a banger.
Mm-hmm. Good pull.
Cart, what do you got?
Mason Cody up with a Finnegan. She got to think what she want to get Finnegan. My one big thing of the day is I think contacts are extremely overrated. I think I might have said this before, but I just want to throw it out there. I don't think it's that bad just to throw on glasses. I don't think it's that cool. I think that putting in contacts is just an unnecessary step and an annoyance in life that you don't need to do. I think if you need anything, just put on glasses. I've actually started playing basketball with goggles as of recently. I kind of enjoy it. It protects your eyes. I haven't been poked in the eye since I've been playing with them on. And also, I see better, and it's just better than having to put in contacts. So I'm team glasses. I'm anti-contacts.
I notice you say this without glasses on.
Well, I don't need them right now. And I can't wear glasses when we're recording because I feel like there's a glare.
Yeah, that is a problem. I try to wear my blue light glasses and it doesn't work.
You feel like you could see the screen in my eyes.
Yeah,
and my beautiful eyes.
You would not want the people at home to know what you're looking at.
It's not that bad right now.
The glare?
No, what's on my screen?
Oh, you did see the allegations the other day.
That I was watching porn?
Hey, this is a godly program.
Sorry, I was watching adult entertainment. No, I don't have the need to watch that anymore.
All right, let's get out of here. My one big thing is that Trey Donaldson would be the third leading returning scorer on Michigan State this season. He'd be the third leading returning scorer on Michigan State. Trey Donaldson would be third leading scorer on Michigan State coming into this season. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week.